Where shall we begin? Where shall we begin in telling the story of Jesus? Do we begin with the birth and some of the supernatural events that were associated with it? Do we talk about some of the unusual visitors that came to the Christ child? Do we talk about the risky flight to Egypt that he was a part of? Well, for Matthew, that's not where he begins to tell the story of Jesus. He begins with a tree, a family tree, a genealogy. All of us have a family tree. I don't know if you've done any exploring in yours. You might have been hesitant to explore your family tree. If you dig deep enough, you may discover that there is, yes, some good, but perhaps also some bad, maybe some ugly. And for sure, there will be some things that are enigmatic. Well, even in the genealogy of Jesus, there are some things that would invite us to ponder. We have, I think, on the screen, the first verse of Matthew chapter 1. And I'd like to make a few comments about that. But before we do, I'm wondering if we could read Matthew 1:1 together. You seem good with participation, so let's read that together. Here we go. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David and the son of Abraham. What does it mean when we say Jesus Messiah? I hope you all know that Messiah was not Jesus' surname. That was not his last name. He had a title. And one of many titles, of course, was Messiah. What does it mean, and why is it associated with these two Old Testament VIPs, David and Abraham? They say that a person is known by the company he keeps, and if that is true, what does this company beside Jesus tell us about his title, Messiah? How do these men in their stories shed light on the meaning of Messiah? Well, let's look first of all then at David. We all know a thing or two about David. If you attend here at the chapel, we've been going through the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, and we've learned much about David. One of the things we've learned is that he was Israel's greatest king. The nation under him prospered. It was powerful, and it had a promising future. God had said to David that he would have an enduring dynasty. He would not be a one-off. Oh no, his descendants would come after him, and then another descendant, and the kingdom of David would go on indefinitely. Sadly, David's kingdom fell into ruin. And after him, there were bad kings. Kings who were evil. Kings who were not as selfless as he was. They were defeated in battle. And then finally, to add insult to injury, in 586 BC, the kingdom of Israel came to an end, and they were carried off to Babylon in exile. But then God raised up voices of hope. Prophets came along who said, it's not all done. And Isaiah was one of those prophets, and he prophesied that there would be another day, there would be another David, there would be a better day. One of his famous prophecies was the prophecy of the stump. You all have seen a stump, a tree stump, and when you look at it, you're tempted to say, that tree has seen better days. The tree is dead. It's done. But if you come back in a few months, you might discover that there's a little shoot growing out of the side of that stump. And Isaiah in his prophecy said that a shoot would come from the stump of Jesse. And he says, believe that in the same way that there will be another king, there will be another David, and this coming king will rule in righteousness. He will be victorious in battle. He will usher in an era of unprecedented peace, and the nations, not merely the people of God, but the nations will rally around him. Well, by placing David alongside of Jesus Messiah here at the beginning of the gospel, Matthew seems to be saying that Jesus is the one, that descendant of David, who restores the throne of David and who will put things in our broken down lives and in our broken world, he will put them right. Well, did anybody else make this connection? Well, you may have heard of the Magi. Matthew chapter 2, they rode into Jerusalem with a burning question. What was their question? They said, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" It sounds like they were looking for a royal figure, maybe someone who would reclaim David's throne and reign over God's people. And then when they saw the child, what did they do? They bowed and they worshiped him. They certainly treated him like royalty. Well, we live 2,000 years later, and for us the challenge is, what do we make of Jesus, Messiah? Do we patronize him? What do I mean by that? Sometimes this time of year, it's easy to show respect, but that's very shallow and disingenuous. We're all happy to celebrate the arrival of Jesus, but come New Year's, we have forgotten about him. Do we patronize him? Or do we feel uneasy about him? Herod certainly did. He was afraid that there would be a rival king on the scene. He was quite nervous about it. If you've learned the creed, perhaps when you were younger, you'll remember the way that it nicely summarizes the life of Jesus, his death, his ascension. The creed tells us that Jesus is currently in heaven on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then we have that breathtaking description where it says, "From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead." Perhaps that might make us feel uneasy. Or do we welcome him? Do we, like the Magi, say, "Thank God, the better than David has come. This other David, this other king has come to put the world right." That's the first member of the company, David. Now for the other, Abram. What do we know about Abraham? Well, Abraham was Israel's greatest patriarch. Patriarch is a founding father, if you will. Canada has its Fathers of Confederation. We've all seen the paintings, and usually there is one man who stands head and shoulders over all. That great Father of Confederation from Ontario, John A. MacDonald. Well, Abraham was kind of the John A. MacDonald of the Kingdom of Israel. He was the greatest patriarch. And one day God came to David and gave him these incredible promises. God said to Abraham, "I will bless you." What a great Christmas present. "I will bless you and I will bless your descendants. And through you I will bless all the peoples of earth. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to others." And then as we continue to read in the Bible, we discover that this great role of being an agent of blessing, this privilege, was picked up by someone else. It was picked up by Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:16 says, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." Scripture does not say, "and to seeds," meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person who is Christ. And so Matthew, by placing Abraham alongside of Jesus, Messiah, seems to be saying that Jesus is the one who becomes God's official supplier of salvation. That God, through Jesus, is blessing the human family. Did anybody make that connection? Well, early Christians certainly did. When they announced the good news of Jesus, this is how they put it, Acts chapter 4. "And there is salvation in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Sound to you like Jesus is pretty important? Well, sounds to me like he is. He occupies a unique role in the way that God blesses us with the blessing of salvation. And he's not the sort of person that we would want to overlook. What do we make of this Jesus, the Messiah? Some might think that Christians exaggerate his importance. Well, of course he's a great man, we might say, but Savior of the world? Isn't that a little over the top? Or perhaps we may view him as one of many paths to God. After all, the Buddhists have their Buddha, and Muslims have their Mohammed, and perhaps Christians have their Christ. Is there really any need to elevate him as the Savior par excellence? Or could it be that Jesus is uniquely qualified to deliver us from all that stands between us and God? Matthew thought so, and he said so. Matthew chapter 1:29, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You can know a person by the company they keep. David, the one who would be followed up by another king. And Abraham, who although he would be used by God to bring great blessing, paled in comparison to the blessing that Jesus Christ brings us. He is the one through whom God's kingdom comes. Do we have a share in it? He is the one who offers full salvation to the human family. Will we look to him for it? Come, let us adore him.